उपोवाह प्रतिश्रुतम् अथापि मे प्रपन्याया अभयं दातुमर्हसि.
Sri Devahuti said, "My Lord, you have fulfilled all the promises you gave me. Yet because I am your surrendered soul, you should give me fearlessness too." Purport. Devahuti requested her husband to grant her something without fear. As a wife, she was a fully surrendered soul to her husband, and it is the responsibility of the husband to give his wife fearlessness. How one awards fearlessness to his subordinate is mentioned in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. One who cannot get free from the clutches of death is dependent, and he should not become a spiritual master, nor a husband, nor a kinsman, nor a father, nor a mother, etc. It is the duty of the superior to give fearlessness to the subordinate. To take charge of someone, therefore, either as father, mother, spiritual master, relative, or a husband, one must accept the responsibility to give his ward freedom from the fearful situation of material existence. Material existence is always fearful and full of anxiety. Devahuti is saying, "You have given me all sorts of material comforts by your yogic power, and since you are now prepared to go away, you must give me your last award so that I may get free from this material conditional life." The wife is dependent upon the husband, just as the child is dependent upon the parents, or the disciple is dependent upon the spiritual master. It's the duty of the superior to see to the welfare of the dependents. Especially when they're surrendered. Prapannaya, even when Kali surrendered to Prikshit Maharaj, then Prikshit Maharaj gave him assurance, "All right, we'll do something for you. You've surrendered. I was going to kill you on the spot, but since you've surrendered, you don't have to fear. Some arrangement will be made for you." Because he surrendered. So when when someone is surrendered, then the superior has the duty. "Oh, I have to see to your welfare." If the person is not surrendered, then things change. Therefore, in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, "Shishyasteham sharimam tvam prapanyam," Arjun said, "I surrender to you. I surrender to you. Please instruct me." Karpanya dosho pahatashabhava prichchamitam dharmasam dhichamita yat shreyasyan nishchitam bruhitan me. Please instruct me. Why should you instruct me? Because I'm surrendered. Otherwise, people would ask Prabhupada a question, and Prabhupada would say, "If I tell you, will you accept?" And the answer, of course, is, "Well, no, I won't accept. I may or may not accept." Then why tell? I was on the Juhu beach walking. One man asked me some question. something, how to chant on beads, this, that. So then I told him that not such an important thing. Anyway, we do it like this. Then his answer was that, well, these people say do it like this, and those people say do it like that, and these people do it like this. I said, well, our instruction is do it like this. But these people say this, this, that. Then why'd you ask me? What was your purpose in asking? If you want to know what instruction we give and how to follow it, then ask me. Otherwise, if you just want to have the opportunity to say, well, over here this and over there that, then why waste time? And I told him that. And then he was angry that I came to learn from you, and you didn't come to learn from me, rascal nonsense. You're just having a conversation. Well, over here this and over there. You don't want to learn anything. But if one surrenders, please tell me how to chant. All right, you chant like this. Then you learn. Either you learn from us, or go someplace else. If they do it this way over there, go surrender and learn how to do it. But you'll not surrender there, you'll not surrender here, you'll not surrender there. You'll just do whatever you want to do. Then? It's like college, you know. You go to the courses, and they prescribe the work, and you say, but over there they have a different book. Over there they have a different syllabus. Over there, then? Enroll over there, then. But follow something. And people used to come and say, but Buddha taught this, but Christ taught that. Well, follow Buddha. Follow Christ, Prabhupada used to say. Are you following Buddha? Are you following Christ? No. Then what are you doing? Simply coming and talking. Well, over here this, over there that. Then how will you learn anything? It means independent. You're not dependent. You're independent. So remain independent, and good luck to you. But the process is, when one becomes serious, just like Arjuna, he was independent. I think this, I think that. But this, but that. All right. Remain confused. Karpanya dosha. Dharma samuddha. Remain bewildered. But when you surrender, then you have the right. Bruhitanme. Please tell me clearly. Therefore, tadviddhi pranipatena. One has to surrender to the bona fide spiritual master. Then pariprasnena. Then you can ask your questions. Tadviddhi pranipatena pariprasnena. So the Devahuti was perfectly dependent upon her husband. She was faithfully serving the husband in so many ways. Therefore she had the right to ask that you've very nicely fulfilled everything, all your promises, everything I might hope for. But one thing, abhayam dātum arhasi, that you haven't given me fearlessness. Abhaya. Fearlessness means, of course, security. We speak of security. It's the business of the husband, the duty of the husband, to provide security for the wife. And the materialists take this to mean that my wife should have no problems about her house, she should have no problems who will take care of her in the future, she should have no problems what about money, she should have no medical worry. These are my duties. That's all right, but that will not give fearlessness. You may have your house and your medical plan and your bank balance and everything, and still not be free from fear. Because finitude, fear of death. And how will one be freed from fear of death? One has to avidyayamrityam tirtha vidyayamritam ashnute vidyam cha vidyam cha yas tad bedo bhayamsa. One has to know not only what is matter but what is spirit. One has to know not only the body but the spirit soul. One has to know not only the material energy but the spiritual energy. And ultimately one has to know Krishna, who's the source of both the spiritual and material. Then tyaktva deham punarjanma naiti janma karma cha me divyam. If one understands the science of Krishna, then tyaktva deha punarjanma naiti, then birth and death will be finished. Otherwise, what is that? Binibeshita syat. Payam dutiya binibeshita syat. By this material duality, by seeing relatively, rather than in relationship to the Supreme Absolute, one is always in fear. Bhayam dutiya binibeshitasya. One will always be in fear as long as one leaves out Krishna. As long as the relationship is absent with Krishna, there will always be duality and there will always be fear. So one who wants to deliver his, or one who wants to have dependence, or one who accepts the responsibility for dependence, has to accept the responsibility to deliver them from fear. In the fifth canto, Gurur Nasa Syat, Svajana Nasa Syat, Pita Nasa Syat, Janani Nasa Syat, Daivam Natatsyan, Napatischa Satsyan, Namochied Yaso Petrit. Guru Nasasyat, one should not become a guru, spiritual master, unless he can deliver his disciple from the path of mritu, repeated birth and death. It's not simply a business that let me have disciples, let me collect money, let me collect respect and worship, let me count up how many people are there on my side. It's not for that. It's not for that. Guru Nasasyat, one shouldn't become a guru simply for name or fame or prestige or for business or any other reason. If he's incompetent, it's like you shouldn't become a doctor. If you can't do something for your patients, then what right do you have to become a doctor? If you can't help your patients, what are you doing? You have to be qualified. You have to be qualified. The qualification of the spiritual master is that he has to be able to deliver his dependents from the cycle of birth and death. So how will he do that? It means he has to be free. And how can he be free? By the message of Krishna, by surrendering to the message of Krishna. Jai Krishna Tattvaveta, She Guru Hai. When one factually knows the science of Krishna, Krishna Tattva, then he can become Guru. Or by understanding the science of Krishna, one becomes liberated from material existence. And by transmitting this message, one becomes a bona fide spiritual master. It's not exactly that by my power I deliver my disciple. But the guru gives the message of Krishna. And it's by the mercy of Krishna that everything is done. It's by the mercy of Krishna. Therefore it said, Bande Krishna Jagat Guru. How can Krishna be the Jagat Guru if there are so many gurus? If there's a guru here and a guru there and guru, so many gurus, many gurus all over the world, then how can Krishna be the Jagat Guru? There are so many other gurus. But actually there's no duality. There's not even plurality. Krishna is the Jagat Guru and everyone else is representing Krishna. Everyone else is, if he's not representing Krishna, then he's not Guru. What is that? Nipano vipro yantra tantra visharada. What's that? Shatkarma nipano vipro mantra tantra visharada. Then? A Vaishnava guru nasyat. Then? Swapacho guru. Vaishnava swapacho guru. He may be so expert in mantra tantra. He can chant so many mantras, he can do so many rituals. He has all the good qualifications of a Brahmin. Shatkarma nipano vipro mantra tantra visharada. Avaishnava guru nasyat. If he's not representing Krishna, then he can't become a guru. It doesn't matter how nicely he chants the mantras, how perfectly he performs the rituals, how qualified he is in all the brahminical activities. If he's not a Vaishnava, he can't become a guru. Because he can't represent Krishna. Krishna says, surrender to me. If you say something else, then you can't be a bona fide guru. Because you can't represent Krishna. Krishna says, surrender. If you say, don't surrender, then you're not representing Krishna. Just like Bali, Maharaj, that Shukracharya, he said, don't surrender to Krishna. And Bali Maharaj said, I won't surrender to you. Finished. You can't represent Krishna and contradict the words of Krishna. You can't represent the spiritual master and contradict the spiritual master. Disciple means he represents his spiritual master. You can't contradict your spiritual master and be a bona fide spiritual master. Parampara. One has to carry the message of Krishna as it is. Otherwise, you're a nonsense. But Vaishnava Swapacho Guru, even if you're born in a family of dog eaters, even if materially there's nothing. If you're a Vaishnava, it's representing Krishna. Bas. enough. That's the qualification. Right? So, in this way, there's one guru, Krishna, and through his representatives, he's delivering the surrendered souls of this material world. Mam ekam sharanam braja. You surrender to me. Now, how will I surrender to Krishna? Tad vijnanartham sha guru meva bhigacchet. I have to surrender to the bona fide spiritual master. And by surrendering to the bona fide spiritual master, I'm surrendering to Krishna. Because the bona fide spiritual master will train me how to surrender to Krishna, how to serve Krishna, how to please Krishna, how to act according to the desire of Krishna. Therefore, surrendering to the bona fide spiritual master means surrendering to Krishna. Sakshad haritena samasta shastra. Not that he claims, I'm Krishna. But kintu prabhuya priya evatasya. He's carrying the message of Krishna. And by the potency of Krishna's message is non-different from Krishna. And by the potency of that Krishna's message, spoken by a pure representative of Krishna, a bhavaturiya jaya. One surpasses this material existence. So he can become a guru. Gurur nasasyat, svajanau nasasyat. One shouldn't become a relative, any kind of relative, to be just like uncles. They're supposed to be affectionate to the nephews and they give instructions and so on. But don't be an uncle if you can't give Krishna consciousness. Don't be an aunt. Don't be anything. Pita, don't be a father. Becoming a father, all right, the animals just simply have sex and become fathers. But in human life, to become a father means to accept responsibility. Not simply to enjoy, and there's some byproduct of the enjoyment in the form of children. But it's a great responsibility. One has to deliver the child from the clutches of birth and death. Not simply, we provided shoes, we provided education, we provided this, that, we got them married. No, you have to free the person from birth and death. Janani nasasyat, not only it's the father's business, mother's business also. The mother's business also. Father and mother have a great responsibility to see that the child becomes Krishna conscious. We were talking the other day about leaving family life as a responsibility. Now, within family life, this responsibility, that the children should become Krishna conscious and get free from material life. And daivam natatsyan. Daivam means the demigod. The business of the demigods is not just to enjoy. They also have a responsibility. Or daiva means anyone who accepts worship from someone else. One should not accept respect, worship from anyone unless he can save those persons from death. The king also, he has to act in such a way that the subjects become Krishna conscious. And napatis chasasyan, pati means husband. The duty of the husband is to deliver the wife from the clutches of birth and death. It's not simply that it's for enjoyment. The wife is a machine for sense gratification, and as he likes, he enjoys, and no responsibility. Nor is it simply that he has the responsibility to provide food and clothing and ornaments and house. And real responsibility is how to save the person, how to save the wife from the clutches of birth and death. So Devahuti is submitting to her husband, Kardamuni, hey, you've given me everything, but one thing is still there, that you haven't given me fearlessness. You haven't given me freedom from this fear of birth and death. So that's still required. Please help me in that regard. Hare Krishna. Any questions?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Last year we were reading some calm texts, and we came across the terms Udharaka and Upakaraka. Udharaka was described as one who, the deliverer, guru, and Upakaraka was described as like the assistant to that deliverer guru. So these terms confused me a bit. And
where are the terms coming from? What's the context? Who's using them? What's going on?
It was described from the South Indian, I think it's Sri Sampradaya, they use these terms.
That's nice. And they're words, you know. They're words. Like we have, so many words. Plaintiff, defendant, liability. And so on, you know, so many technical terms. What do they mean? They don't mean anything until you give them a context. They don't mean anything. Liability. What does liability mean? It doesn't mean anything. Accomplice. What does it mean? It doesn't mean anything until there's a context. Determiner of facts. What is a determiner of facts? It doesn't mean anything until there's a context. What are the relevant laws? What is the case? What is... So simply to throw words around, Upakaraka, Uttaraka, Majjam, Uttam, this, that. It doesn't mean anything until there's a context. It's like Bhagavan. Bhagavan doesn't mean anything until there's a context. Here it means Kardamuni. In this verse it means Kardamuni. And in Bhagavad Gita it means Krishna. So if you just take the words and throw them around, then it means Kardamuni is the speaker of Bhagavad Gita, and Krishna is married to Devahuti. There has to be a context. There has to be an understanding according to the context. Otherwise, just words are floating in the air. So if you tell me what the context is, if you give me the background, what scripture is being cited, how it, just like our whole Krishna consciousness movement, Prabhupada is giving this Srimad Bhagavatam with context, with the commentary, with the information from the acharyas, with how it's applied, with what the authorities have said, with what other shastras have said, so that it all fits together and you can understand it as a cohesive whole. Otherwise, people read these books, you know, they go out and get a Bhagavad Gita, this, that, but because there's no context, because there's no cohesion, they just get ideas. The yoga, I should become a yogi. Krishna says, become a yogi. Well, what does that mean? And they go out looking for context. It means that I should grow my beard and I should go off to the Himalayas. Because they don't have the context. What does it mean to become, when Krishna says, tasmad yogi bhavarjana, become a yogi? What does that mean? So when it's explained by the bona fide spiritual master in terms of a context, in terms of the cohesive whole, then you understand that it means I should surrender to Krishna and perform devotional service. So in the same way, these terms that we're so lucky to find on Kam have meaning when they have proper context. And in the absence of proper context, I have nothing to say about it.
I can try to give you some I can try to give you some context.
All right. Let's make an experiment.
Okay. So this Prabhu, he was saying that this was at the time when there was, I believe, some consideration that we would be like ISKCON Prabhupada Sampradaya. This Prabhupada would come into, we were going to be called Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Prabhupada Sampradaya. There was some discussion about that. So one Prabhu, he wrote that actually, we're Rupanugas, and we're followers of Rupa Goswami, and he used this term Uddharaka. He's the deliverer guru, and that Prabhupada and the other gurus are assisting Rupa Goswami, Rupa Manjari, to deliver the disciples to Krishna. And this confused me a lot. And then later I asked someone...
Probably confused him a lot, too.
Yeah. And then later, one Prabhu from Mayapur, he told me, actually, Krishna is the Uddharaka. He's the deliverer.
Gopi Bharata Padakamalayo Dasa Dasanu Das. Everyone is the assistant. Everyone is the assistant. At what point is somebody going to stand up in the disciplic succession and say, I'm the deliverer? I deliver everyone from birth and death. Who'll do that except for Krishna? Arsabhritya, Ekala Ishra Krishna, to free someone from birth and death. Therefore, Prabhupada said here, what is that? That one who cannot get free from the clutches of death is dependent. So everyone is dependent. No one can get free from the clutches of birth and death. It's only up to Mukunda. Krishna is Mukunda. Nobody else is Mukunda. Krishna is the Ishra. Ekala Ishra Krishna, our subject, everyone else's servant. So what can a servant do? What independent power does he have? He's dependent. Servant means dependent. Can you be a servant and say, I'm independent? Servant means, by definition, dependent. There's only one independent, that's Krishna. Arsabhritya, everyone else is servant.
So there's some, what is that? There's some Vedic Vakya that only Vishnu Mrityam, only Vishnu can deliver one from the clutches of from death. Ah. Loud? Yeah, that's one. There's another one too. There's a couple like that. It's stated that only Lord Vishnu gives liberation. Mukti didati sarvesham, yeah, you're right. That one's good enough. Only Vishnu gives liberation. So everyone else, therefore, Bande Krishna Jagatguru, he's the Jagatguru. And everyone else is Britya, servant of Krishna. And by the grace of all these Britya's, and the Britya's of the Britya's, we're getting Krishna consciousness. There's no spiritual master who's independently anything. The qualification of the spiritual master is that he's dependent. And his spiritual master is dependent, and his spirit all the way back to Krishna. And Krishna's independent. Brahma, he's the chief person in the universe. He's not independent. He was dependent on instruction from Krishna. He didn't know what to do. He was also dharma samudha cheta. He surrendered to Krishna, then Krishna gave him enlightenment. Here's what you do. Then Narada became the follower of Brahma. Vyasadeva became the follower of Narada. Vyas was also not independent. He didn't know what to write until Narad Muni told him that actually your writing is all nonsense. You haven't written about Krishna. Then by the instruction of Narada, Vyasadeva wrote this Bhagavatam. Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, we're Rupa Nugas, but Rupa Nuga was, Rupa Goswami presented himself as confused. We don't know what to do. We're entangled with the government, we're contaminated by our association with the Muslim rulers. So we don't, what's our situation? We surrender to you. Sri Chaitanya Manabhistam Stapitam Jaina Bhutala Shayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadhati Sharpatantikam. Why are we respecting Rupa Goswami? Because he knew what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted, he established that. That means he's Britya. Servant. He's servant. He's not independently doing something. Brahma Madhva Gaudiya. So Brahma is doing what Krishna desired. And Madhva, again, following from Vyasadeva. And Gaudiya Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even he presented himself as dependent. He surrendered to Ishvara Puri. And Rupa Goswami surrendered to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it comes down in disciplic succession. Prabhupada surrendered to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. We're surrendering to Srila Prabhupada, and disciplic succession is going on. So everyone is assistant. Ekala Isha, who wants to say, I'm the master? Bona fide spiritual master doesn't say, I'm the master of everyone. I'm the assistant of my spiritual master. That's all. It's not a very confusing thing, you know, big words, upakaraka, upadaraka, upacharaka, upa this or that. Upa upa. But it's not a confusing thing, it's a simple thing. Everyone is the servant of 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 Krishna. Gopi das, Gopi Bharata Padakamaleo Dasa Dasa Nivas. Simple. Why has it become such a terribly difficult thing to understand? It's simple. Everyone is the servant of the servant of Krishna. Maharaj, you gave the example of how you met someone on Chapati and you told him at Juhu, you met someone and told him that if you are not surrendered, why asking questions? But then a person can say that there are so many around, so I want to confirm before surrendering.
That's all right. But then say what you're up to. He presented, I was trying to learn from you. You're nonsense. You weren't trying to learn from me. You weren't doing anything except, you know, picking a little information here, picking a little information there, and remaining indecisive and going nowhere. And then it came. He asked that, how do you chant? His question was, how do you chant? Do you chant this fingers, that fingers, this way, that way? Technical question. So then we got into this, well, they chant this way, we chant that way. You know, answer wasn't going to accept. Anyway, I said, the real thing is to chant Hare Krishna. Then his next line was, well, Hare Krishna or any name. Maybe Krishna, maybe Shiva, maybe this, maybe that. You see what kind of nonsense? There's no question you came to learn from me. You came to be a nonsense, that's all. You're not learning. This is not process of learning. No, confirm, that's a different thing. I've heard this, and I want to know whether this is actually right. Then, even if you came to confirm it, that means I should have faith that when you confirm it, it's right. Confirm means confirmed by the authority. If I go to the dentist, he says, you need a new filling. Well, I don't know. Then I go here, he says, yes, you do need a new filling. Then I go, all right. But if he tells me, yes, actually you need a new filling, well, I don't know if I need a new filling. Then why did I ask him? I'm not going to accept. When you confirm it, I say, well, then I've wasted your time. Confirm means that you think that I actually have the authority, or I actually have the knowledge, that when I confirm it or when I deny it, then that's it. It's confirmed or it's denied. Otherwise, you're just picking up, you know, little shreds of... You're conducting an opinion poll. Then go work for Org, Marg, you know, those people, and do exit polls and all that kind of stuff, and be happy. But forget making progress in spiritual life, because it's not done that way, just going here and there, and no. In the beginning, that's all right. You ask a question, this, that. But if you seriously want to make progress, then at some point you have to say, all right, now I surrender and I'll do it, whatever you tell me. Otherwise, you're sampling. That's all right. You have a right to sample. You go around a little bit here, there, find out what's... what are they saying here, what are they saying there, that's all right. But then finally you have to say, all right, this is the right place, and I'm going to accept. Same thing, you look at this college, that college, finally you say, okay, I'm enrolling here. And then once you enroll, you don't go here and there and say, well, but they teach it this way in this college, they teach it that way in that college. Okay? Yes?
Hare Krishna. Maharaj.
Sir.
Is it possible to impart fearlessness without giving any material security?
Is it possible to attain fearlessness without any material security? Yes. How much material security did Prahlad Maharaj have?
No. My question is, like Prahlad Maharaj, Narad Muni himself, they themselves, Narad Muni also, example of, they themselves were fearless, but when it has to be given to somebody else, that you become fearless, although you don't have any material security, how to...
You're just speaking so low and you're scrambling all of your words, they're not coming across loudly and distinctly, or don't bother.
Somebody has to impart fearlessness to other
yes.
person.
Yes.
Without giving him any material comforts or security. How is it possible?
How is it possible? I'm already saying that why does, to give fearlessness, do you have to give material security? What does one have to do with the other? Prahlad Maharaj was fearless. Did he have material security? His father tried to kill him by throwing him off a cliff, by having him stabbed, by having elephants trample him, by having him poisoned, by this, by that. So what's the security? If your father is trying every... Your father is the most powerful demon in the universe, and he's trying every which way to kill you, how much material security do you have? But Prahlad Maharaj was fearless. So to be fearless, you don't have to be materially secure. You have to be Krishna conscious. And you may have every material security and still be terrified. Terrified of death, terrified of... Not that... Therefore, the guru is not meant for solving your economic problems, your... Social security problems, your housing problem, your job problem. He's meant for giving Krishna conscious. If you become Krishna conscious, you'll have all your problems solved. You'll have no problem. Actually, there's no problem, except that we've forgotten Krishna. And the guru can solve that problem. Then you have no problem. There's material security, there's no such thing. It's a misnomer. An oxymoron, contradiction in terms. Material security. If it's material, it's not secure. And if it's secure, it's not material. Okay? Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
We know from Bhagavad Gita that demigods fulfill the material desires of their worshippers. So here it is said that they cannot become demigods unless they deliver their dependents from the cycle of birth and death. So how is that we understand that demigods they relieve the dependents from this fear of death?
Yes, they should do that. The demigods also, their devotees, and to their followers they give instructions of Krishna consciousness. Yamaraj is instructing, Brahma is instructing. The demigods are actually devotees of Krishna, and to those who are their followers, they're giving instructions of Krishna consciousness. But people are approaching the demigods just like they're approaching Prabhupada. Of, give me your ashirvad. What do you want? Oh, my son should pass his exams. So they're approaching the right person, but for the wrong reason. So people are approaching the demigods. Give me fire, give me power, give me health, give me this, give me that. They're approaching Durga Devi. Oh, Durga, let me do puja to you. You're so glorious, you're so great, you're so this, you're so that. Give me money, give me fame, give me wealth, give me all material things. But the gopis are approaching Durga. Please let me have Krishna for my husband. You see? You're very dear to Krishna. Chanarupam api yasya chajeshtate sa. You're always engaged in the service of Krishna. But please give us your mercy so that we can have Krishna as our husband.
Second question. What if this demigods, kings, husbands, if they don't fulfill their responsibilities of delivering the demigods?
Then they're irresponsible. Then you can reject. Bali Maharaj rejected his guru. You're supposed to be guru, but guru are nasasyad. You're contradicting the order of Vishnu. You can't be guru. A Vaishnava guru are nasyad. I reject you. Prahlad Maharaj rejected his father. You're anti-Vishnu, so I'm anti-you. The Jagyik Brahmins rejected their family members, their husbands and family members. Svajano nasasyad. Pati nasasyad. One cannot become a husband, one cannot become a relative if he's anti-Vishnu. And Vishnu's asking, give us some charity, and you're refusing. We reject you. Bharat Maharaj, he rejected his mother, the brother of Lord Ramchandra, that Bharat Maharaj. He rejected his mother. You've become anti-Vishnu, so I'm anti-you. Rejected. You see? But when they're not representing Vishnu, then one can reject. Oh, you're not Vaishnav. You're not serving Krishna. Then you're nonsense.
What consequences?
Who speaks nonsense, he goes to hell, and the disciple who listens to him goes to hell. Narakam Ghoram. What is that? I've forgotten. There's some verse like that, that the person who in the guise of a spiritual master speaks nonsense, and the person who posing as a disciple or acting as a disciple listens to such a bewildered person and follows the instructions of such a bewildered person, both of them go to hell. Both of them go to hell. What is that? Andhayatandaya ubhagiyamana. What happens when a blind man follows a blind man? They both fall into the ditch. Yes.
Arikshan Maharaj. Maharaj, sometimes I have seen in Srila Prabhupada's letters, Prabhupada sometimes writing about some particular medicine for a disciple, or Prabhupada arranging marriages, because for a devotee, there is a strong connection between his material situation and his spiritual life, because in a neophyte stage, our material situations influence our spiritual life a lot. Maybe Prahlad Maharaj and Narada Muni, in such exalted stage, one may not care for one's material situation. So if Guru does not care, or as representatives of Guru, if we don't care about the material situation of suffering souls, and just tell them that you should take only Krishna consciousness and nothing else.
That's fine. If Prabhupada had not given instructions about pain relief medicine, or if he'd not given instruction about how to manage your finance, your personal finance, or he'd not given instruction to some disciple about his occupation or his marriage, still, if he'd only instructed, chant Hare Krishna, surrender to Krishna, that would have been enough. His duties would have been completely fulfilled. It's not that Prabhupada had the duty that, no, this disciple is feeling pain in his leg, you have to prescribe what is the right medicine. This disciple has got a financial worry, you have to help him sort out his business. This disciple is having some marital problem, you have to get involved and sort out his marital problem. That's not Prabhupada's business. That's ordinary business. So, in association with the devotees, Prabhupada was helping even in their ordinary business. But that was like extra. Extra business, extra kindness. But that's routine. Anyone will, if you have some pain, then will inquire, oh, what is the problem? Oh, I know a medicine for that. But that's not the real thing. Just like you go to school, and the mathematics teacher sees, oh, you have a cold. You should dress up warm, or you should take this medicine. Well, that's very kind, that's very nice. But the real qualification is that he's an expert in mathematics. That's why you're there, that's why he's there. And it's very kind and nice of him that he took interest in your health also. But that's not the business. You're not going to graduate because he helped you with your cold.
But my question was that the material situation of a devotee in the neophyte stage has a great influence in his spiritual life.
Maybe.
If it was not for the kindness of Srila Prabhupada, it's a doubt whether they would have survived even in spiritual life.
But Prabhupada's kindness was not that he took so much interest in the details of the material details of everyone's life. And out of so many letters, you get a few letters where Prabhupada is saying, yes, for your backache pain you take this, and for this you do that. But Prabhupada didn't say, message to all centers, please, anyone who's having a medical problem, send that problem to me so that I can get involved in sorting out these material distresses of my disciples. Prabhupada didn't send out a notice. Anyone who's having marital problems, I'm not getting enough mail about your marriage problems, please send to me all of that. And if you're having problems in your business, please don't hesitate. Throw the mail at me in great quantity, so that I can help you in all the details of your material affairs, so that you can advance in Krishna consciousness. Rather, Prabhupada was saying, tell them to, I can't get my work done because I'm getting so much mail about this problem, that problem, this problem, that problem. And someone was commenting, I saw it recently, someone was commenting that, out of so many letters, it's striking actually. Oh, who was in the class the other day? Someone was saying, Radhanath Maharaj was saying, that you read the letters and Someone was reading Prabhupada's letters. Who was? You were commenting that Rabindra Sarup had said, okay, that he had read so many letters to Prabhupada. So many letters to Prabhupada. And you don't, by reading the letters from Prabhupada, you don't understand right away what the letter to Prabhupada was. The letter from Prabhupada is, so go on with your prescribed duties, chant Hare Krishna, read regularly and make sure that you're following the regulative principles very carefully, then everything will be all right. And the letter to Prabhupada is, Prabhupada, I have my, you know, my wife this, and my job that, and my health this, and my that, and my this, and my that. And the answer is chant Hare Krishna and then read Srimad Bhagavatam. And every now and then Prabhupada says, you know, for your backache, take this, and for your this, take that, and for your marital problem, do this and that. But the actual medicine, the actual instruction that Prabhupada is giving is to be Krishna conscious, because that will solve all of your problems. Or even you get the advice from Prabhupada regarding your medical problem, I suggest that you consult some qualified physician. Bas, you got a medical problem? Go see a doctor. Deal with it. You have a material problem? Deal with it. Don't go to your spiritual master and say, please solve all my material problems. There are already people for solving your material problems. Why do you have to dump it all on your spiritual master? Approach the spiritual master for solving your real problem, for solving your spiritual problem. And for the other stuff, go to other people. Is that okay? Is that all right with you, Radhanath Maharaj, or you want to hear about everybody's marital problems, financial problems? Up to the sky, all the details. Sometimes we take interest, but it's not that this is the essential work. Anything else? Or you want to add something from another? Okay. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.